From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the June 22nd edition of Commodity Week. Little rain, a little drought, Europe's doing better, but the trade is worried about the Fed and the commodity markets. Well, they managed to make a nice little gain for the week, but not as much as they saw early on. We'll see what's in store now that the summer solstice has passed today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Tommy Grassoffi of Indiana Grain Company out of DeMott, Indiana. Our panelists in studio today include Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, Greg Johnson of the Andersons from Champaign County, Illinois, and Sherman Newlin of Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois. Naturally, Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and you're the public, and now's a good time to make your presence known. You can dial in at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support for Commodity Week. This program is sponsored by you to the tune of about 40% of our budget, and it all has to be in the bank by June the 30th. We never spend money that we don't have. It needs to be in the bank by the 30th of June. If you want to help out, you can do it right now at 217-244-9455. If you're listening online to one of the podcasts, if you're on a smartphone, if you call us from time to time, it's important that you give Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Just say you're going to pledge, but do it right now. 217-244-9455 or willag.org.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's begin our discussion with this question. Why, if the nation is so short of corn, Greg Johnson, did old crop corn fail to maintain its midweek highs?
I think part of the weakness in old crop corn was there were some announcements of some ethanol plants closing, and when those ethanol plants close down, that's that much less corn that's demanded, and then they also can sell their surplus, what they've accumulated, back into the market. And some of the other ethanol plants and processors that are staying open feel that less competition, so they feel like they can maybe buy that grain a little bit cheaper. So I think all that led into a little bit of the weakness for the old crop corn.
Mike Georgie?
I think that, and also the fact that our exports have been very poor on old crop corn. We're hearing that Japan is buying corn from Brazil and other countries because it's cheaper there. And of course, the other one was that the dollar had a real strong day yesterday, so there was nowhere to go but down.
And then Sherman Newlin, they only left the livestock for you because exports are down. We got ethanol plants closing. What do you think? Why did it not hold?
We had July expiration was going on today, too, and there had been a lot of positions in the July futures that had to be getting out of there with the options coming in for the first of the week. So there were some guys probably getting around with that. And then you had a little bit of a wetter forecast from time to time. And then crude oil sold off hard yesterday. So that was all probably entailed in with
a little bit of it. Can you go through the expiration process? Because May was kind of tough, a little different. And this time around, why is it that May was tough? And what do you see that's the same this week that happened in May or not? Sherman?
That's a good question. I'm not really quite sure what's going to happen when we get into the, you know, expiration for sure with July. Kind of depends on where our cash basis has been, I believe. So we'll see what happens there.
Some of the traders were talking about July being no good eventually because you won't get ownership of it until the very last week of July, first week of August, and on the river. And by then, with this dry, hot weather, the yield may not be that good, but that's going to speed up the maturity of the corn crop. So there could be some new crop corn available down south that might be a little bit cheaper than buying old crop July corn and taking delivery.
July corn this week, by the way, had a $6.17 high. We give you, remember, the overnight day trade. Actually, there's no overnight. It just starts, and it keeps trading now. And the open outcry, which will all be in one kind of large trading session starting on Monday of next week. Remember, those all finish up at 2 o'clock. So this was the last time we have a settlement price at 1:15 Friday afternoon. Nonetheless, we give you all of the electronic and open outcry. The high on the week, $6.17. The low at $5.76 and a quarter. And the July corn settled $5.90 and a quarter. It was up 10 and three quarters. December futures there at $5.55 and a half cents, 49 and a half cents higher on the day. Tell me about tell me about new crop corn condition and what you hear across the spread of your clientele. Where are the good places? Where are the bad places, Mike?
Well, I tell you, there's very few people you talk to that say their crop is good. Northwest Iowa, I talked to a customer, said he was very happy they've had timely rains. Southwest Iowa, they had some rains here last week, but a lot of the people are saying we need rain or this crop is going to keep deteriorating.
German, I made a trip on Sunday to Peoria, and then I made a trip to Springfield from here on Wednesday. Those are both 70, 80, 90-mile trips back and for one way. The crops look really good.
Really good, yeah.
Really good, but I take it you're not that lucky at this point.
No, we're not. There's a lot of areas that don't look that good. I mean, I think you can take a line from Missouri to St. Louis and kind of cut across towards northwest Indiana and then just kind of sweep across southern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, parts of Missouri that we talked to. The guys in Ohio that we talked to, they're hurting really bad. I mean, the farther south you go in certain areas and even down in our area, we're looking at a really poor crop. I mean, just guys are just saying if we don't get rain, we won't have anything. And then even if we do get rain, we're not sure how much we might have. Maybe half a crop, you know, maybe 40 bushel an acre. It's bad. You've got knee-high corn trying to tassel out. Stuff's turning white. Guys are actually turning in some crop insurance claims that are talking about disking down their corn and possibly if we get some rain, planting some beans. That's how bad it's getting.
Yeah, the Indiana, state of Indiana, I think from top to bottom is the worst, followed by southeastern Illinois, followed by southwestern Illinois. Now, in our area, from the northern half of the state, things are hanging in there. I would put it that way. They look good. We've benefited from not having the extremely hot nights like we did the last couple of years, but we have no subsoil moisture at all. So people could be extremely shocked how quickly this crop could deteriorate, or if we get timely rains here for the next 3-4 weeks through pollination, we could have a good crop. It's just a little too early to say yet, but things are hanging in there in our area.
I'd like each of you to take a guess on this one. And it'll probably turn quickly, but how long do we have before this either turns or doesn't turn? If it doesn't rain, when does suddenly it say, oh my Lord, drought?
Well, corn's already tasseling and pollinating in the southern part of the state. I think most of our corn here in the central part of the state will be tasseling and pollinating within the next 2 weeks. So there's a chance of rain next weekend if this tropical storm Debbie, you know, pumps some moisture up here. That probably next weekend will come in time. So I think the deadline is next weekend. If it doesn't rain next weekend, this crop will go downhill in a hurry.
I agree with Greg. They were today trading. They kind of weakened up because they thought we were going to get some timely rains next week in time for pollination. If we don't get them, things are going to get ugly real fast.
Yeah, that's completely right. And like I said, in some places it's already at that point of no return. Even if we can get some rain, it may not help. But it will go down really fast. We think, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks at the most for a lot of the Illinois areas. You know, we recognize Minnesota and some of the northwestern areas are in pretty good shape. But down here, it's going to go downhill really fast.
Is it decision time in that case for a producer as to whether or not they should make another incremental sale?
I think it depends on where you're at. I think if you're in an area like where you were saying where you're having a good yield potential in Peoria and Springfield and Minnesota and some of those good-looking areas, if we can get a run up here next week and you know you're going to have some decent bushels, then yes, it probably would be. And probably we ought to do it with put options, because if we don't get the rain, the other areas could possibly push this market quite a bit higher. So I would kind of lean more towards option-type buying.
Yeah, that's why we have crop insurance, so that we maybe don't have to get quite as aggressive on new crop sales. If this market would really tank and sell off, we've got crop insurance to bail us out. The last thing you want to do is be too heavily sold at 550 and then not have a crop and watch this thing go a lot higher. So, we're kind of in that 550 range. If we get closer to $6, we'll tend towards leaning towards more sales. But below 550, I think we lean on the crop insurance.
More sales, Mike?
No, I don't think you can find anybody that's going to make sales. Everybody's more interested in making buying calls right now because the weather isn't known yet, and it looks ugly out the kitchen window, so I don't think you're going to have guys wanting to make additional cash sales or any kind of sales.
Soft red winter wheat this week, high at 684 and three quarters, a low at 612. Settlement price in the midst of harvest, up 63 and three quarters of a cent at 673 and a quarter. Supposedly a good harvest, too, and a good quality wheat. July of 13 at 729 and three quarters, up 41 and three quarters. You would be taking in as a company, the Andersons, a pretty good set of bushels, I would think, by now.
Yes, and the yields are average to slightly above average in our area. We're not a big wheat area, but it's good. Two things probably for the rally. One, Russia weather has been a little bit on the dry side. And two, seasonally, it seems like we make our lows before harvest lately. The last few years, we bottom out and then rally as we go into harvest. And once again, that seems to be the case this year.
July soybeans this week, a $14.64 and a quarter top, bottom at $13.75 and a quarter. Soybeans in the July rallied 66 and a half cents to settle at $14.42 and a half, and November at $13.75 and a half, up 61 and a half cents when you compare the rally in the soybeans to the rally in the new crop corn. It doesn't look all that big, but I thought everybody was all bulled up on this bean crop and the idea that it ought to go, go, go.
Well, I think it will in time, especially if we don't get rain. I mean, I understand that if we would happen to get rain at the right time, there's still time for beans to produce a decent yield. But I feel like they're already hurt, and we don't have any room for any kind of error at all. So we've been friendly to beans for quite some time.
And maybe I'm ahead of the game here, but why does it seem like it's pulling the reins back on the beans this week?
I think it's just too early to say what beans, will do eventually, but I think we have to keep in mind, the trade is assuming that we're going to plant 2 million more to 3 million more acres of double crop beans. That's been talked about for weeks and weeks and weeks. So, we didn't get a lot of acres shifted over, I don't think, in the spring, because the rally in beans came too late for farmers to switch a lot of acres. So now we're counting on double crop. That could have worked, except it's been so dry in the double crop areas, Missouri, Arkansas, Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana. So maybe we'll plant 2 to 3 million more acres of beans, but what kind of yield do you put on those extra 2 million acres? That's the question.
Is it the difference, Mike, do you think, between the outside market and the weather market, being corn for the weather market, pushing it higher, and the outside market saying, we're not sure that everything's all good just yet, and laying demand off?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, it depends who's in the news the most on that day. I mean, when you had the Greek election, they didn't know which side they were going to elect, and people were very nervous, and they got out of the commodities. Then they made the right selection, and they're back in the market. The dollar goes down, and you've got people wanting to buy commodities. The dollar has a good day up, and you don't have them wanting to buy commodities. So, yeah, the outside market and world concerns definitely dictate to the market.
Demand in the outside markets?
So that's kind of a headwind in the corn market. We recognize that some of the corn does have some things working against it. Brazil corn seems to be cheaper. China's going down there to talk to them about, buying some corn. Like I said, you got crude oil going on. You have the government report next week, and a lot of people are not really looking for anything bullish coming from the government next week. I mean, looking for the acreage to maybe increase a little bit. The yield should be dropped, but will they drop it? The supply number, quarterly stock stocks on hand number, you know, where is it going to be? I mean, the way exports have been, it's hard to tell.
You, of course, are listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always pick us up online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. And importantly, this week and through the 30th day of June, a way to pledge your financial support. Remember, we are public radio, and you are the public. We need your help. We put all of the money that we're going to use in the next fiscal year in the bank before we use it. So by June 30th, everything that we'll spend in the next fiscal year needs to be in the bank, and we'd like you to help out. If you can, please do so. Give us a call at 217-244-9455. We like the $120 level. Less is fine. More is fantastic. But however you do it, make sure you pledge your financial support to willag.org. You can always do it online as well at willag.org. When we come back, we'll talk with Tommy Grisoppi of Indiana Grain Company.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. Warm, dry weather continues across much of Illinois this week. Some rain did fall across the northern two-thirds of the state. The totals were generally between 1/2 to 1 inch, although the area around Kankakee did receive more than an inch. While those rains were welcome, they only provided some short-term relief from the current situation. Meanwhile, southern Illinois received virtually no rainfall this week. Much of central and southern Illinois is considered to be in drought at this time. Rainfall totals for June alone were about 1 to 2 inches below normal. Rainfall totals for the last 90 days have been 2 to 4 inches below normal in northern Illinois and 4 to 8 inches below normal across much of central and southern Illinois. Temperatures are expected to be above normal over the weekend, with highs in the upper 80s and low 90s on Saturday and Sunday. A cold front will push through the state on Sunday evening, bringing cooler temperatures and a chance of rain. Early next week, we should see milder temperatures with highs in the upper 70s and lows in the upper 50s before warm weather returns on Thursday and Friday. The National Weather Service outlook for July calls for an increased chance of above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation for July. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
This is the June 22 edition of Commodity Week. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media at the Land Grant University, the University of Illinois. Our panelists in studio today include Greg Johnson of the Anderson, Sherman Newland of Hudsonville, Illinois, and Risk Management Commodities, and Mike Georgie of Allendale in Mahomet, Illinois. On the phone line from DeMott, Indiana, is Tommy Grisoffi of the Indiana Grain Company. Thanks, Tommy, for taking the time with us this afternoon. First, you're self-styled as a speculator. I suppose that's the right term. You are a 20-year veteran and trader, member of the CBOT, the CME, the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, the NYMEX, and the COMEX. You're the president, of course, of Indiana Grain Company. Sounds kind of like an elevator, but it's not. Do you trade for just yourself only?
Yeah, currently I'm just trading my own money, and occasionally someone like, I'll trade some money for my father and a few friends and family, but nothing organized as like a CTA or anything. Under the current rules, you're allowed to trade 12 or maybe it's now 15 accounts without, being a registered CTA. So I have a few discretionary accounts. I occasionally trade a lot different than my style, where I'm, intraday, short-term, and then use options a lot to hold stuff. So, if you think there's a big move coming in the grains or something, we'll definitely move to the option market. So,
well, that was my. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Tommy, I got a question. Since you're intraday trader and stuff, what do you feel about the new hours being open 21 hours a day and on June 12th when we had the monthly supply and demand report, and we were trading immediately as soon as the numbers came out. What's your feeling, and how was your reaction to that?
That's a great question, Mike. I started off as a young runner in the Board of Trade a million years ago, 1990, and when I turned 21 and started leasing a seat at the Board of Trade, I started in the bond room, and so I'm used to trading 7:30 numbers. My whole life, I'm used to going in on an unemployment Friday and, you know, knowing you're either going to make or lose a lot of money, and it's unemployment Friday and being all pent up. So I've always found it strange that they closed the grains, and not to insult any grain traders, but the bond markets and currency markets of the world are much more robust and a lot more money flying around than the grain market. Now, I also have compassion towards anyone who's a broker in the grains for that. It's just not one single number coming out. There's a lot of numbers and a lot of data. And people who typically deal with farmers, I feel like farmers drag their feet a little bit. You know, the days of the number coming out at 7:30, them going to the coffee house and thinking they're going to call their broker and maybe buy some puts today, that's over. So it's 2012, and it was just time to move on. I know it doesn't work for everyone. For me, as a speculator, it works because all the numbers come out at 7:30 or 9 o'clock. It makes sense for the grains to come out. And I think in the end, it'll smooth out the numbers. So last year, I think we had more limit up and limit down moves in the corn than any other year in the history of the Board of Trade. And they expanded the limits, and no matter what, we were still going limit up and limit down. So they could have made the limits 50 cents. And when you get that many people the wrong way and you keep the market closed for a few hours, in my opinion, you almost create a bigger panic than there was. So some of these 60, 70, 80 cent moves in corn, I don't think would have necessarily happened if the markets could have just traded and discovered price. And as we all know, that's supposedly what the exchange is about. It's where people can get together, buy and sell, and discover price. That doesn't mean it's going to go smooth. That's where the word volatility comes in. And guys like myself like that. And obviously, you know, brokers out there listening don't like that. So, you know, and that's where we are in the grain trading now.
Hey, Tommy, we've had a few weeks now of this 21-hour trading. China opens while we're sleeping, then Europe, and then ourselves. Have you noticed any patterns as far as, or is there any particular times where you tend to trade, get in and get out?
Sure. Over the last few years, because I own seats at different exchanges, and over the last few years, as we all know on the line and viewers listening, the metals markets have become real active, and crude oil's at $100 or $80 this week. But so over the last few years, as grains have closed at 7:15 in the morning, and the other markets had stayed open, I had kind of started trading less and less grains because I was having such large equity swings from the 7:15 close to the 9:30 open. For an example, I remember a time last year when I was down in Florida this week last year, and I was long a bunch of corn coming in, and it was up overnight, and then the President Obama released some oil on the strategic reserve, and it took crude oil from up a dollar to down $3. Well, obviously, as you know, corn didn't open up that day. It opened down a lot, and I wasn't having so much fun down at Mickey Mouse's house in Orlando anymore. So those type of swings, as a speculator or trader, you're not going to take that big of an equity hit and keep taking risk from – you're not that you're taking risk. You're locked in the risk. And so, again, the point of the exchange is to let people get in and out. So what I've noticed personally is I'm trading more grains than ever because – whether I have a one lot on or a 100 lot, I can get out. And, that's the purpose of the exchange, is to provide liquidity. And the purpose of people like myself is to provide liquidity. So if a farmer wants to sell 5,000 bushels at midnight, 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning, you know, there's economic data coming out about grains at 7:30, exports. There's USDA announcements at 8 o'clock. Obviously, we have big numbers now coming out at 7:30. And so I've noticed people like myself are trading more. Now, you'll hear people say that the markets are really thin. I think all markets are thin for a couple reasons. That MF Global, we're still getting over those humps. And, as the other gentleman on the line had spoke before about Greece and, you know, just issues in the world in general. So the commodity market's not this big, deep, robust, liquid market like it was maybe a few years ago when Bear Stearns and Lehman and Goldman Sachs were, you know, free to do whatever they wanted to. Not to mention just the last few weeks what happened with J.P. Morgan again. Obviously, hedging gone wild. So the markets are what they are. They're a little thin. I like that they're open 21 hours a day. I like that people can get in and out, at their leisure.
Hey, Tommy, this is Sherman. Since you sound like you trade quite a bit, are you more of a technical type trader, or do you pay attention to much of the fundamentals? I'm sure you're aware of the drought we're having right now in
sure,
a lot of areas.
What I've worked hard the last few years is to get to know farmers and states. And I have a little map here on my wall, and I try to know a farmer on every, take your three eyes, your Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana. I have farmers I can call on my phone and ask someone how southern Indiana is. You know, anyone who's in northern Illinois or northern Indiana last Saturday, we received a large rain, and I'm thinking corn's going to open 15, 20 lower, and, you know, that's just your backyard. So I would say if you describe my trading, it's more order flow. So as a grain trader, I'm very much watching the currencies. I trade the currencies. I own a seat at the CME that allows me to trade there. Everyone who trades grains watches the dollar. And there's other stuff, too. Just, you know, you come in the morning and you see gold down $40 like it was the other day. Cotton went from limit up to July cotton hasn't. It's traded, but it's traded limit down 3 days in a row. And it's going to be, based on the spread, it'll be limit down again on Sunday night. So we're having some wild moves in commodities, and I try to watch them all, and not just the commodities, but all the outside markets, based on the commodities. I actually, one of the things that helps me a lot is watching the stocks of commodities. So you watch a company like Caterpillar that was just bulletproof earlier in the year, and now it's went, down $20-$25. John Deere, ADM, obviously. So you watch how the actual commodity stocks are trading to make sure that everything's all right in commodity land, and then you tie that in with, you know, the world market, and then you have your fundamentals of someone down in, a friend of mine called me from Kentucky, and he said that, you know, he doesn't know what their yield to be, but it's going to be a disaster. So you try to stay in touch with, the people who are growing the crop, and you can't be too emotional, too, that, you know, one guy up in Minnesota is getting more rain than they need, and another guy in Kentucky is not getting any rain. So you got to tie all that together and then make quick decisions here on the electronic platform. That's kind of what I do here.
Hey, Tommy, thank you so much for taking the time with us. I do appreciate it today, and I hope you'll come back and visit us again.
I would love to. Thank you.
Tommy Grisafi is the president of Indiana Grain Company. He's in DeMont, Indiana. Now a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Greg Johnson.
I think soybeans still have the most potential for upside surprises, so hold off on selling any soybeans at this time.
And Mike?
Yeah, I think the market, like always, is going to be very volatile, and right now we're in a weather market, and that's going to be at the forefront of trading.
And Sherman Newland.
Yes, the weather's going to be very important here in the next 10 days. I mean, we're putting a corn crop size down at 152 already, and if we don't get rain, probably go lower than that.
At Sherman Newland, he's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Hudsonville, Illinois. Before him, Mike Georgi of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, and Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. You can always hear it again on our website at willag.org or on our smartphone app at m.willag.org. That's a website, too, so m.willag.org. You have a great week. We look for a little rainfall. Talk to you again in just about 1 week.